It's been a privilege to be with you in person, which I came many years ago, so many of the faces are new. In between, I did connect on Zoom a couple of times as he invited me. But, you know, you can't recognize everybody on the Zoom. So, but happy to be with you in person. And I will be staying in Panvel for a few days. I informed Virgil, so he has filled my timetable fully of parenting seminar, marriage seminar, and leaders seminar, and then today morning's meeting. So I'm very happy that even though I'm advancing in age, he's still making use of me. I'm privileged and I'm blessed in the whole process. So Esme and I are married now for 46 years. So we are 46, not out. And so we have three children, as he said, and all three are married, and all three, two of the couples have got children as well. So we have three grandchildren. And so from the success and the mistakes we made, we will share in the parenting seminar and the marriage seminar, right? So you will know all our blunders we made, but that will be advantage to you, so you need not make the blunders we made, but that should be of some help. Now, this morning you saw the notes, which is looking a little disturbing, child sacrifice. Do we still have child sacrifice? That used to happen in the, I cannot say good old days, there's bad old days. And that's what it happened. But anyway, child sacrifice is something that does take place. Now today I have got some, if I may use the word, some gory details, some that will come in between. I am glad the children have gone for the children's ministry, so this discussion will not probably help them. All are majors here, so should be all right in every way. But if you have a kid and you find that they should not listen to, just put your hands over their ears and block out the, you know, put them on, whatever, put me on mute for them. Okay? Now, during the times of kings, the people of Israel, including the kings of Israel, began worshipping other gods. The name of those gods were Baal, Ashtoreth, Tammuz, Molech. And in these gods, when they worshipped, these gods had their temples, and in the temples there were priests and priestesses. And as a part of the ritual, they had sexual intercourse with the priests and the priestess, and believed that through that, fertility of the people will increase, and they also believed that the crops that they grew, they will get a good harvest. So this is part of the terrible rituals they followed. Molech was the god of the Ammonites. There was another province called the Ammon, and their god special. Each nation has his own special god. So the Molech was the god of Ammonites. It was a huge bronze statue that I put it up here with outstretched arm. And below this particular statue was a fire which used to be burned. Ultimately, the fire was so strong that this bronze statue will become red hot. And then at a certain moment, there would be families who will bring their children to sacrifice to this particular god. And they will lay the child in those red hot hands of this bronze statue. And as you put the baby in that particular place, of course the baby would scream and cry loudly and get burnt, and then eventually fall in the fire and be burnt to death. And usually it was the firstborn that they would do that. And while the group of priests and priestesses would be playing the drums loudly to drown the sound of the child screaming, so hopefully less people will be affected. And then, as I told you, the same time get involved in sexual orgy so that they would have good harvest, and they would be fertile in the whole process. It cured them of barrenness, so they believed in that sense. And they would also win in the war if they did that. So that is how the practice was. And Notice three things go together: idolatry, sexual promiscuity, and murder of children. One of the kings of Israel, who were technically supposed to believe our Lord Jehovah, he sacrificed his kid. So did Manasseh. And those references are there, 2 Kings and so on and so forth. King Solomon was initially very, very dedicated to Lord Jehovah. He must have been less than 20 years old when he got a dream. And in the dream, God appeared to him and asked him, "What would you want me to do?" And in his dream, he was so pure, even in his dream, that you and I left control. But he asked, "Lord, I am a new young king. These people are magnanimous, great king, and I do not know, I do not have the wisdom to handle them. Will you please give me wisdom so I can handle them?" Such was the purity of his thinking. Such was his selflessness. But he had one weakness, that was women, and so he kept marrying more and more women. Eventually, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And these wives that he married were from different neighboring nations, and they came and they were not too happy to worship Jehovah. So they insisted they wanted their own temples. So Solomon, who built the temple for Jehovah, also built temple for the Ammonites and the Molechs and everything. And his wives led him to go to those temples, and he said he clung to his wives and ended up worshipping these gods, including these horrendous gods, all Molech and Baals and Ashtoreth and Ammonites, so on and so forth. And it was the Ashtoreth is the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech is the god of the detestable god of Ammonites. And now the word Baal, that's the name of the god, means Lord, and Molech means king. So now they had new lords and kings, not Jehovah, but new lords and kings. And so these were alternative lords and kings to Jehovah, who is our Lord and King. In the word, Indian word that is called Malik, that word Malik comes from this word Molech. So don't call anybody, "Hey Malik." You'll be unnecessarily calling him Molech. So that's just by the way. And that's scary. And we should be careful about it. It actually, after today, it will become a bad word. So don't use it. It was the practice that whenever you took the work of constructing a major building project, maybe it is a flyover, maybe it is a palace, maybe it is a bridge, then it was the normal practice to sacrifice one of your kids. The king would usually sacrifice his kid, and the foundation is laid, and when the inaugural time came, he would sacrifice another kid to one of these particular kings. And so this is also mentioned in the Bible, and you will find there were some people who did this, and that was terrible that happened. During the time of Ahab, a guy called Hiel of Bethel built Jericho at the cost of his firstborn son, and erected the gates at the cost of his youngest son. This is what is happening. Now, I want to ask you a few questions. What do you think of this practice called child sacrifice? Would you call it murder? Could this be the practice of people of those days? And as I said, not good old days, bad old days, of the uncivilized, uneducated, superstitious, ancient world. Wouldn't you think like that this was the practice of those days of uncivilized, uneducated, superstitious, ancient world? And what kind of feelings did you get as I described this gruesome practice of putting the baby in the red hot arms of this bronze statue, screaming and then falling into the fire and being burned to death? What do you think? Just take a few 10 seconds and analyze what are the thoughts you have. Is this murder? Is this a practice of those people, and it causes you to become horrendous? And thank God we are not in those days. We are living in days where there is a great freedom, and we are much more civilized, much more tender-hearted than people of those days. Now I want to ask you another case study, and in this case study I'll ask you some questions, but listen to this case study. A professor in a world-acclaimed medical college once posed this medical situation and an ethical problem to his medical students. He says, here is the family history. He's talking of some medical case, and in that medical case, he's saying, this is the case, the man is a drunkard and has a disease called syphilis. Syphilis is a bacterial infection spread through sexual contact. When people have too many sexual partners, then one of the diseases that comes to them is syphilis. So the father, the man already has this syphilis. And it can cause severe complications in the man himself. And if he produces any children through his women, then that also will be a problem. And there is a lady who is pregnant, his wife is pregnant, and she has got tuberculosis. So now you can see the complications becoming more complicated. This family already has 4 children. It's getting really complicated. The first kid is blind. Second kid died. Third kid is deaf. The fourth has tuberculosis. Now the mother is pregnant again, and the parents have come to you for advice. This is the medical professor telling the students that these parents, this man and this woman, have come to you for advice. They are willing to have an abortion. If you say you should have abortion, what would you say? What would you say? Now and then, forget the medical students. What would you say if those parents came to you? Right? Why don't you tell your neighbor? I give you 15-20 seconds to tell your neighbor. What will you advise if this couple came to you? 20 seconds. Right, 20 seconds were a long time over. Looks a bit complicated. It seems that when the medical professor asked this question to his students, the students began to give various individual opinions, and then the professor asked them to break into small groups for consultation. All of the groups came back to report that they would all recommend abortion. Even today, if there is a slightest complication in the pregnancy, the gynecologist easily recommends, insists you should have abortion. And so that is an absolute normal thing these days. Very rarely do you find a gynecologist will encourage you to, no, you can try, you can manage. They rarely say that. No, this can lead to complications. Abortion. And so they do that. So these medical students are probably brought up in this kind of environment, so they all recommended abortion. And so the professor said, congratulations, you have just killed one of the outstanding music composer called Beethoven. So Beethoven was an outstanding music composer who has written so many music notations, and this was his actual case some centuries back. And that was the recommendation as it were made. But they did not abort him, and he was birthed. And were there complications? Serious complications. Beethoven suffered from a few sicknesses all his life, but the most known problem was his deafness. Later on, he could only communicate by exchanging written musical notes. Here is the shocking truth. The best musical compositions were written by Beethoven after he became deaf. That's amazing. And many of us can hear, but we have difficulty singing. But he could compose the best music. In other words, we could have had a serious problem with this particular issue that is there. Mm-hmm. why don't you move? Needs the master's touch. All right. So we already saw this Baal, Ashtoreth, Tammuz. We saw idolatry, sexual promiscuity, and murder goes together. And we saw King Ahaz sacrifice, King Manasseh sacrifice, King Solomon build those temples to Molech. We saw Baal means Lord and Master, Molech means King. Indian word Malik comes from the root word Molech. And we saw that Baal built certain things. And we already asked you these few questions. And now here is a monitor, true or false, and it is there in your notes as well. What do you think? Life begins at conception. That means when the mother has got, the woman becomes pregnant, we say life begins when she becomes pregnant, not life doesn't begin when the baby is born. Or do you think life begins at birth? All right? So true or false, life begins at conception. In your mind you think true or false. Maybe in your notes you can write T or F so that you will know. And life begins at birth, true or false. And life begins somewhere in between conception and birth. May not begin at conception, may not begin at birth. Somewhere in between, after the first trimester, second trimester, they call it 3 months, 6 months are over. And miscarriage and abortion are the same thing. Would you say that? An adult woman is more important and valuable than the unborn child. Would you say that true or false? True or false continued. Abortion is a personal decision, one to be decided between a woman and her doctor. Perhaps she can involve her husband if necessary, but nowadays the woman and the doctor can take a call. And abortion is necessary to control the population. We have a really serious population control. We may not be leading in anything as a nation, but in population we're leading. Follow that, be fruitful and multiply very faithfully in our land. So whether to control the population, we said hum to humare do, not more. That is a possibility. And then legalizing abortion reduces the number of illegal abortion. Abortion is humane and civilized. It's dignified, it's okay, it's all right. Everybody does it. You find boards everywhere. Abortion made easy, only rupees 90, 2 hours and it'll be over. And so, it's made humane and civilized. During abortion, the baby does not feel the pain. After all, it is like a, we call it fetus, like a tumor, like a boil. You remove a boil, you remove a tumor, you remove a fetus. That's what people think. And abortion has no harmful effects on the mother. And abortion is a medical issue, not a spiritual issue. True or false? Okay, I hope you have written down something against each one of them. I'm not going to ask you what you have written, so you are free to write, but free to write what you genuinely feel may be the right answer. Alright, so hopefully you have run through a thought. Here it is. Now the medical overview, let me tell you. On the medical overview, there is the definition. Abortion is called, technically medically called, medical termination of pregnancy before birth, resulting or accompanied by the death of the fetus. Notice the word fetus. We didn't use the word baby. Baby may make us feel uncomfortable. Fetus is okay. Dispensable. And some abortions occur naturally because a fetus does not develop normally, or because the mother has an injury or a disorder that prevents her from carrying out the pregnancy to the full term. And somehow the body naturally causes a miscarriage to take place. This type of spontaneous abortion is often known as miscarriage, and other abortions are the abortion that a doctor does are induced. That means he does something medically in order for it to happen. That is called MTP, medical definition, medical termination of abortion. Then there are methods of abortion. Induced abortions are performed using one of the several methods. It all depends whether the baby in the womb is a few weeks old, has finished first trimester, means the first 3 months, that means 12 or 13 weeks old, or is it 18 weeks old, 19 weeks old, 25 weeks old, 26 weeks old, that means it is crossing the second trimester, or it is even beyond the second trimester. Based on the conception and the size of the baby, the appropriate method would be used. Alright, so here it is. Altogether, baby takes about 39, 40 weeks for the to deliver. Anytime between this, they can do the MTP, medical termination of pregnancy. Now, let me tell you which are the methods that are being used for this particular one. And it is easier to perform abortion in the first trimester, but as it advances, it becomes more and more complicated. Right, the one is called the morning pill. And just to say, before I go to the morning pill, in USA, pregnant woman's risk of death from the first term abortion is less than 1 in 1 lakh. In India, it is a bit higher, but in the USA, it is lesser. And the risk increases by 30% with each week advancement beyond the first trimester. And in India, we perform officially 6 million abortions. Officially, unofficially, about 11 million abortions take place. So when Cain killed Abel, the blood of Abel cried for justice. Imagine every year, 11 million babies' blood is crying for justice. In that case, our land is ripe for genocide. 1.5 million babies are killed in USA, and about 5 lakh babies are killed in a small nation like UK. So that is so. Morning pill is one of them. A variety of drug-based abortion methods may be carried out under a physician supervision, and it is known as morning pill. They take a pill which is large doses of estrogen, and it causes this problem. Its side effects are nausea, headaches, dizziness, breast tenderness, and fluid retention. And within the very first week of being aware, they can do this. Or there is known as the suction aspiration. Usually, in most cases, 90% of abortions during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, a powerful suction tube, like a vacuum cleaner suction tube, is put, inserted in the womb through the dilated cervix, and the developing baby is dismembered as part by part is sucked out. And you can usually recognize when that suction pipe is then put into the usually the waste bin or the wash basin, then you can recognize the hand and the feet and head and everything else. The next one is called dilation and curettage, D and C. The cervix is dilated or stretched to permit insertion of a loop-shaped steel knife in order to scrape the walls of the uterus. And the abortion cuts the baby apart, scrapes out the pieces that are put around the side of the womb, including the placenta. Bleeding is profuse, and the womb is being scraped completely. This is called D and C. There is D and E, dilation and evacuation. This method is similar to D and C, and is used up to 18 weeks gestation period of the baby in the womb. Instead of a loop-shaped knife, a grasping forceps is inserted into the womb to grasp the parts of the baby. The developing baby already has calcified bones, and the part must therefore be twisted and torn away, and the process is repeated until the body is totally dismembered. Sometimes the head is too large and it must be crushed in order for it to remove it. Bleeding is profuse. The next method is salt poisoning. This is hysterectomy, you know, that a woman's womb is being cut open and the baby is being taken out and thrown in the wash basin and the body is being stitched up. That is called hysterectomy. And salt poisoning is one more. Salt poisoning, I missed out. A concentrated salt solution is injected into the sac where the baby is. The baby is in a kind of a bag, and that bag called amniotic sac. In that, a salt solution is injected. The baby breathes and swallows the solution and usually dies 1 or 2 hours later from salt poisoning. The mother goes into labor, and after about 24 hours, delivering a dead, shriveled up baby. Nowadays, we have sonographic equipment which you can see, and you can see the baby struggling, and as it is getting poisoned, you can see the whole trauma that the baby is going through, and eventually the baby will die. And then the mother will go into the blood. Now, this is abortion. This is abortion. There is a damage, now there is a physical effect of the abortion. I have a question before we go to the physical damage. We remember the earlier one, child sacrifice, on that red hot burning things, and we said that is the practice of the uncivilized, ignorant, superstitious people of the old days. Now you tell me, are we the ancient, illiterate, ignorant, civilized people? Or are we the modern, educated, civilized, advanced, refined, gentlemanly? What is the difference between sacrificing a child on a bronze statue, red hot, burning, child screaming and falling in the burning embers there, and what is being done in abortion? Is there any difference? Do we call ourselves advanced, educated, modern, civilized, refined gentlemen and ladies? Would that title be even suitable for us? Or are we not outright criminals and murderers to the one who is helpless? Wouldn't that be true in our life? We got to be very careful. What is the difference between offering a child to Molech and abortion? What was your gut feeling as I read the methods of abortion? Isn't abortion barbaric, gruesome, repulsive, demonic, horrendous, churning of the stomach, sadistic and inhuman? As I described, a suction tube like a vacuum cleaner, tearing apart the body, taking a weapon and cutting it pieces, crushing it, you know, dismembering, or salt poisoning, whichever one you take in, which one do you think is less gruesome? Each one is more gruesome than the other. And this is abortion. We got to be aware. Don't call it by a refined name, medical termination of pregnancy. It sounds very refined, but that is not what it is. It is outright murder of the particular baby. Now, physical effects on the mother. Sometimes there is a damage to the cervix muscle, damage to the uterine wall, as in perforation, infections, hemorrhage, blood clot formation. Sometimes it leads to sterility. Later on, they want babies, they can't get babies. There are stillbirths subsequently. There are 17.5% chances of miscarriages in future, 24.3% likelihood of complication during future pregnancies, menstrual order being disturbed, a fever and cold and sweats, insomnia or sleeplessness or loss of appetite, weight loss, exhaustion, decreased work capacity, vomiting, gastrointestinal disturbances. There is also psychological effects, guilt feeling. 3 out of 4 women experience acute grief reaction, suicidal impulses and preoccupation with death, they withdraw from society, lowered self-esteem and helplessness. Sometimes there is anger and anger or rage or hostility. There is a loss of confidence in decision-making ability, hatred with anyone else connected with abortion, loss of interest in sex. There are nightmares, and some of them are unable to forgive themselves. And sometimes there are spiritual effects which are, there is an increased demonic activity that can take place. So those are the spiritual effects. Now, many of us keep a diary. You know, we keep a daily diary, some of us, not many of us, some of us. And in the diary we write whatever happened today. And today I got promoted in my workplace. You can write down promoted. Today I got a salary raise. You know, some people write down. They have a daily, right? Some of you who are believers may have your daily quiet time, and you may open your Bible and you may write down something that you felt you learned of God. And if your prayer was answered, you would write. And if you had a prayer request, you would say, Lord, these are my 2 prayer requests for me or my children or somebody, and you write it down. And so people have keeping a diary. Now I know a baby in the womb cannot keep a diary. But let's imagine if the baby were able to keep a diary. What would be the diary of an unborn child in the mother's womb? Let's look at this. If the baby were to speak, or imagine if the baby kept a diary, what would it say? So I've got some data. October 5th, today my life began. My parents do not know it as yet. I'm small as a seed of an apple, but it is I already. I'm to be a girl. I shall have dark black wavy hair and brownish black eyes. Just about everything is settled though, even the fact that I shall love flowers when I'm born. October 19th. Some say that I'm not a real person yet, that only my mother exists, but I am a real person. Just a small crumb of bread is still truly a bread. My mother is and I am. October 23rd, my mouth is just beginning to open now. Just think, in a year or so, I shall be laughing and later talking. I know that my first word will be Abba. October 25th, my heart began to beat today all by itself. From now on, it shall gently beat for the rest of my life without ever stopping to rest. And after many, many years, it will stop and then I shall die. November 2nd, I am growing a bit every day. My arms and legs are beginning to take shape, but I have to wait a long time yet before those little legs will raise me to my mother's arms, before those little arms will be able to gather flowers and embrace my mother. November 12th, tiny fingers are beginning to form on my hands. Funny how small they are. I'll be able to stroke my mother's hair with them. November 20th, it wasn't until today that the doctor told my mom that I am living here in her womb. Oh, how happy she must be. Are you happy, Mom? November 25th, my mom and dad are probably thinking about a name for me, but they don't know even that I am a little girl. I am getting so big already. December 10th, my hair is growing. It is smooth, bright, and shining. I wonder what kind of hair my mom has. December 13th, I'm just able to see. It is dark around me. When mom brings me to the world, it will be full of sunshine and flowers. But what I want more than anything is to see my mom. How do you look, mom? December 24th, I wonder if mom hears the whispering of my heart. Some children come into the world a little sick, but my heart is strong and healthy. It beats so evenly. Tup, 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 tup. You'll have a healthy little daughter, mom. December 28th. Today my mother killed me. If there was a diary, if there was a baby who was able to express, this would be her story, his story. It is a person, or we must know it is outright murder. Why do women seek abortion? The vast majority, probably in excess of 95% of abortions, are sought for personal, not medical reasons. The mother feels she does not have the financial resources to bring up the child, or she feels pressurized by the father or by her parents to have an abortion, or she feels that she lacks the emotional and physical strength to go through another pregnancy and raise the child, or she believes that raising an additional child would shortchange her existing children. She believes she is a student or without a partner, and she feels that raising a child would be too difficult and disruptive in her time in her life. Or she doesn't want other people to know that she became pregnant. A child would interfere with her career or education. Or she is a rape or an incest survivor and does not want to bear a child that was conceived in violence. She may feel she may fear physical abuse from a parent if they learn of her pregnancy. Sometimes parents are very angry and say, get out of the house. She may fear being tossed out on the street by a parent if they learn of a pregnancy. In the case of a multiple pregnancy, the woman will be faced with giving birth to more newborns than she feels she can deal with. She may elect to go through a selective reduction procedure. That means she may have giving birth to twins or triplets. They will do abortion for two and keep only one baby inside. A small minority of abortions are sought for genuine medical reasons. The fetus may have been hurt by exposure to high levels of toxic chemicals, medications that might be dangerous to the fetus, alcohol, drugs, etc. And they may cause the fetus to be genetically damaged. Therefore, abortion is suggested. Some girls become pregnant at a very young age, and when pregnancy can be dangerous. I mean, people get married at 21, 24, 25, good time to have a baby. And some people are 13, 14, 15, they have a love affair, boy affair, boyfriend, etc. And they go too far and then it becomes complicated. The fetus has a genetic defect or other health problems. Virtually all couples who find the fetus suffers from Down syndrome, and it is a or a similar defect, they all prefer to have an abortion. A woman may develop a sudden disease called eclampsia. This involves a sudden increase in blood pressure and an onset of seizures. The results can be fatal to both the woman and the fetus. This used to be called toxemia of pregnancy. And in the case of multiple pregnancies, some of all the fetuses will end up with various long-term health problems. Some may not survive at all. Physicians will sometimes recommend either a selective reduction process or just have a complete all babies. Now, these are various reasons why people abort. The medical reasons are about 5%. 95% were the other reasons. Some people are saying, we have just got a house, we have just got a job, we are paying EMI, we got you hold a job, I'm holding a job, father and the man and the woman say, and if you go for a pregnancy, then you will not have a job, will not get money, how will we pay EMI? And so, and this goes on, 4-5 times they do the abortion because they got to pay the EMI. The EMI finishes the baby. And so there are many reasons why they do this particular problem that is there. And let us see some biblical overview. You did those true and false statement, and according to the Bible, conception is God's gift. Conception is God's gift. Genesis 18 says, God tells Abraham that Sarah will have a son, and God is blessing Sarah with a baby. Genesis 29, the Lord causes Leah to conceive and bear 4 sons. It is a gift of God. Psalm 127:3 says this, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It is a gift from the Lord. Secondly, life begins at conception. Psalm 139:13-16 says, for you created, the psalmist is writing about God, and God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Made, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isaiah 44 verse 2 says, this is what the Lord says, He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and He will help you. Luke 1:13-15, the messenger angel said, fear not, the angel is saying to Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, John, and of the Holy Spirit he shall be full even from his mother's womb. That means your children can be filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb, as it were. So that's another interesting thing. And then we have Luke 1:44, Elizabeth is pregnant with her baby called John the Baptist, and she said to her cousin Mary, who had just come to visit her and who was also pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth is saying to Mary, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Because John the Baptist is a forerunner of Jesus, who will announce about Jesus' birth and declare He's the Lamb of God. And so here the baby, few months old, Mary is only 3 months old with the baby, and Elizabeth, his baby, is 6 months old, and there was a great joy in the 6 month old fetus inside them. Next one is God's warning against taking a life. Exodus 20:13 says, thou shalt not kill. In Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds the blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. In other words, the baby in a womb is made in the image of God, and in touching it, we are actually touching what God has made. So we are actually revolting or rebelling against God. Genesis 4:9-10. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. As I said earlier, blood of 11 million babies is crying out every year for justice. No wonder we face calamity upon calamity, and floods and droughts and cyclones and famines, and you name it, we are facing calamities. I wonder whether this is connected to the blood calling out for justice and God's hand on it. Exodus 21:22-23 says, two men might be fighting and they might hit a pregnant woman so that the baby comes out, but there is no further injury, then the man who caused the injury must pay money. He must pay what the woman's husband says and the court allows. But if there is further injury, then the punishment is that life must be paid for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, is also hand for a hand and foot for a foot. Now, in our nation, India, you are allowed to abort. Up to the first trimester, you are allowed to abort. And in some special cases, you are allowed to abort up to second trimester. It is a criminal law, which is violating what God's law said. It violates the spiritual. That is the law. However, if a pregnant woman, and why, how they get it away with, get away with this, but he's a fetus. He's like a boy, human. Try to have no guilt conscience. But if a woman who is pregnant, she meets with an accident, according to Indian law, it is called double murder.
Are?
When you kill, you don't call it murder. Now you call it double murder. Isn't it double standards in our land? And we must know there is only one correct law, and that is God's law. But this is how we get away with the whole thing. Amos 1:13, 14 says, doesn't matter, we'll just skip that, we'll go for the next one. It is so. What should be our response? Now today, I've explained to you whatever is involved in the child sacrifice of yesteryears, with that so-called god Molech. Even in India, we have some places, Jivdani temple in Virar, where people in the days gone by would go and sacrifice their babies. Nowadays, they go and sacrifice a cockerel or a goat or something like that. But secretly, still today, babies are sacrificed. Still today, certain witchcraft practice involved, you know, kidnapping somebody's baby and then it is hung upside down and the blood is drained out. And you feel horrendous. But don't call it horrendous. Let's call us horrendous, because we are endorsing abortion, by which we, in a sophisticated way, are doing nothing different from what that olden days of child sacrifice they did, or this particular Jivdani type thing that are being done. We are doing it absolutely the same. So, having known what God's heart is, what is true and false, you know what is true, and what would be our a proper response to this particular situation. And I would think, never abort. Never abort. Give birth and look after the baby yourself, or give birth and give the baby for adoption, or give birth in a secluded place. And there were people that I know of who, girlfriend, boyfriend, went too far ahead. The girl got pregnant, the boy abandoned her, and she got in distress. She came running, what should we do? So we arranged for her to go to a safe, secluded place. She delivered a baby, gave it for adoption, and she came back. Don't kill the baby. Don't kill the baby. Give it up. Don't kill the baby. Don't. You've already done one mistake of going too far. Don't complicate it by doing more mistakes. Just stop it there and give away the baby. Now, so I think, first of all, never adopt, whatever it is. First is give birth and look after the baby yourself. Not only that, encourage others never to abort. Inform friends on a one-to-one basis. I've just told you what happens at an abortion clinic. Don't go by the advertisement, abortion made easy. It is not easy. It is complicated. There are horrendous medical practices, and there are physical and psychological and spiritual side effects. Don't go by that title, you know, abortion made easy. So encourage others never to abort. Inform friends on a one-to-one basis. Give literature on a one-to-one basis, and address the subject in groups and discuss it. Especially if you're a school teacher, talk it in the school. When I took one seminar, there was one gynecologist doctor from a place in Uti, and she got under deep conviction, and she went back and she put a board up: no abortions for women. If you want abortions, please go to other clinics. And then she has gone around to various institutes and colleges, and she gives lectures on what exactly happens in abortion, as a result of which the conscience of people has aroused, as a medical doctor talking about horrendous practices. And so I think it has caused many people to say, all right, I did not know this. Now that I know, I shall not do it, and also encourage others not to do So if you are in a position to influence, you are a member of Lions Club, Rotary Club, use that platform to inform the people that are there. Not only that, consider adoption. Consider adoption. Many agencies' addresses are available if you want to give the baby for adoption, or consider foster care. I want to give you good news. For me and my wife, we were married, and then God blessed us with two children, both girls, and we grew up well. But just before we got married, a month before we got married, a gentleman from a church said to me, I'm going to visit an orphanage which is close by to where you live. Would you like to join me? So my wife and I, we were engaged but not yet married. We went with him to that particular orphanage. That orphanage, visit to that orphanage for 2-3 hours, went there, came back. We were extremely distressed after that, because those children had, in one big hall, 50 children and only one parent, one house mother looking after those children. And how can one house mother cater for 50 children? So they were told, sleep here, put their books there, go to the bathroom there. That's all they could, just give instruction. They were deprived of love. So when we went there allowed to meet, the children came running to us and everyone wanted to hold my hand. And I had one kid on each finger holding me. And then that means that you are telling 10 children I was trying to touch me, because they were eager for some human contact. And then they took me, uncle, see my place, see my... There was nothing, the empty hall. And there was one locker that they had. From the locker, they pulled out one small, thin bedroll, which they say we keep it in the night. There were kept their books, and there were kept their clothes. That's all. That's all the property they had. And they were showing me, uncle, and I was showing. And then at one place, after I got tired, I went to sit down. Then they all wanted to climb in my lap. And I can't take 10 children in my lap, so I said, wait. So I took one lap, other one, after 2 minutes, and we get down, they have to sit. And so all of them took rotation to sit. Oh, either somebody will handle them. I went home that night, and I lay down, and I thought about it, and I wept and wept that night, saying, who will show them the love? How can they live, and how will they grow up? How will they be? Will they be normal human beings? And I was very, very disturbed. Then I met my wife later on, and I said, If God allows us, I would like to adopt. Various things happened. We had two children. And at a particular time, my wife said, yes, I'm ready. So we applied to an agency, and we got our son. So our third kid is an adopted kid. And we adopted him when he was 6 months old. Now he is 31 years old, married, and living in Dubai. And that was out of pure our encounter with God and whatever happened in that orphanage. But we being pastors, people watch us closely. And so I think some people got inspired and they decided to adopt. And today about 55 families in the church have adopted. And so I think you do the right thing, you will have many, many people who want to follow you as a good example. You will have no regrets. You will only have something to rejoice. So consider adoption. And I'm speaking, perhaps if you're getting disturbed, that's good. Something may be planted in you. Let it be of God. Let it not be humanistically driven, but it will be spiritual. Join together to abolish abortion. Maybe you want to see something you can do about it. Now, consider the following people. This is my last bit as I close. Consider the following people. William Wilberforce was a man who lived about 200 years ago in England, and he, those days, was slave trade. The Africans were taken from Africa and sent to the sugarcane fields and cotton plantations and made as slaves. They were beaten with whips and were hardly fed with anything. But he, being a white man who knew people, white people from UK were doing this horrendous thing, he, as a member of parliament, relentlessly presented a bill again and again and again. It was defeated. But finally it was passed and slave trade was abolished. Later on he presented another bill for many years, for which another bill called Rehabilitation of the Slaves took place. He also did some reforms of prisons. He set people free from their debts and many such things he did. Again, a man who himself was not a slave, but he did for somebody else. You are a top dog, you are helping the underdogs. You are a person in a place of blessing. Can we not bless those who are underprivileged? Even as some of you are going to DMart and to railway station to help the children on the footpath. Praise God. But I pray that you can help this category as well. Amy Carmichael, she was again a woman from the West who came, stayed in South India in a place called Donavur. And we have a Devdasi system. That means in any home, if a child, somebody falls sick, then the family says, if this person who's got deadly disease, this is a terminal illness, is going to die. But if that child survives, if that family member survives, we will offer our girl to a particular temple of goddess Yelama, and she can be a Devdasi, she can be a slave to this goddess. But the unfortunate thing is, while this sounds noble, sounds spiritual, sounds good, when that child is offered, she becomes a slave, a sexual slave of the priest of that particular temple, who use this child sexually to satisfy themselves, and after the child has grown and useless to them, they sell them off to the brothels in the different cities. When she came to know, Amy Carmel came to know, this is beginning of 1900s, she decided to run a home to rescue these women who are being sold into this particular slave trade of Devdasi system. And she rescued people by the hundreds and thousands. And she also ran a school for them. They tried to burn her place. They tried to kill her, but they did not do that. But she relentlessly fought with the government. Ultimately, a bill was passed where this practice was being abolished. Again, a person from the West came to India, who themselves didn't have the Devdasi system, but tried to work. Again, the one who is better off is able to help those who are unable to help themselves. William Carey, you may know, he also came from the West, and he was based in Kolkata, and he saw, you want to know how the Indians have a funeral, and he saw one funeral procession, so he joined them, and he found a man who was dead, was put on fire, as they burned the fire that is there. But then, he asked his wife, throw herself on that fire. And she would not want to go. She was screaming. Then the people are playing drums loudly, just like in the tales of the child sacrifice to drown the sound of the baby. The drums were playing loudly, and the people took this woman right to the edge of the fire and with bamboo poles pinned her down, and she screamed herself and she burned to death. William Carey went to rescue her, but the people stopped him. He was so badly affected that he ran two newspapers, one weekly and one daily newspaper. He began to produce relentlessly images of this particular practice. And finally, he urged the British government, the East India Company, then to pass a bill to stop this practice of sati. And so, he was responsible to save the bride burning or the wife burning practice in India. Charles Dickens wrote a novel called Oliver Twist, by which he exposed the evil practices happening in orphanages. And so, then government passed the bills and stopped all those evil practices. Again, he used his pen, his gift of writing, to arouse the conscience of the nation, arouse the conscience of the parliamentarians who passed the bill in that particular case. Now, question is, will there be Charles Dickens here? Will there be a William Carey here? Will there be an Amy Carmichael? I can talk to you many people of another lady called Pandita Ramabai. All these reformers, all these activists who relentless, who are better off, work to uplift those who are underdogs, those who are desperate, destitute, helpless. They work for them. Would there be anyone who speak on behalf of these babies in the womb who cannot speak for themselves, who cannot hire a lawyer to fight their own case? Would there be somebody who would do that? Would they be able to wipe away that bill that we have in our land, destroy it, and pass a new bill? Babies shall not be destroyed. Will there be? Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes, and I'll give you in your mind to quietly pray for 30, 40 seconds, and then I will close the meeting. You make your business transaction with God. Whatever you feel the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you respond. Is the Holy Spirit saying to you anything? Is the Holy Spirit saying to you, I will never abort? Is the Holy Spirit saying to you, I will tell many others, never? Or is the Holy Spirit saying to you, why don't you be the spokesman to stop this evil practice of abortion in our life? Wipe away this time. Save the 11 million babies. your life only eat, work, and sleep? Eat, work, and sleep. Is your life only eat, work, and sleep, and one day die? Or would you make a difference in your life? Would people say, thank God for you, you changed my life. Thank God, because of you, I have new life. Would people say that? Or would your life be only eat, work, sleep, and one day die? Would you make your life count in the days to come? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you are the living God, and your word is a living word, that you are transacting business with us this morning. And I pray, Lord, may your spirit continue to speak with each one of us in some way or the other. Maybe you are encouraging some to adopt. Maybe you are encouraging some to become activists to ensure that this evil law in the land, which is contrary to the law of God, be completely removed, demolished. I pray, Lord, that if there be anybody who has done abortion in the past, would come forth and receive ministry in order to be healed in every way. Healed physically, healed emotionally, healed spiritually. And I pray, Lord, that those who have not done but like to tell others, I pray you will birth in their heart a message, a life-giving message, so that they can save many more babies in the future. We commit these decisions people have made. Will you seal these decisions by the power of the Holy Spirit? That Lord Jesus, even as you laid down your life for us, that we would sacrifice ourselves for the cause to give life to others. So help us, Lord. We commit ourselves into your name. May the love of God, may his grace, and may his fellowship remain with us now.